Hello, welcome back to Loving Yourself Completely. I hope you're all having an amazing week and hopefully having a more healthy week than I am. If I could have walked you guys through my whole week this week, I would be on here for hours. It was like one of those weeks where everything went wrong, my nerves were on edge, and everything eventually got figured out, but it was just like one of those weeks where the simple things became super challenging, and trying to focus on the positive became a little difficult for me this week, but I did it and I was proud of myself, and everything is fine, of course, but business-wise, I really had some big technical issues, and it seems like, I swear, I'm like, what is going on in the universe where all of my electronics are just malfunctioning and things that were saved and should be in their place are no longer in their place, and then having to redo certain things. I redid this one thing for work probably four times. And it wasn't a small thing. It was something that took me hours. And I went to save it and it disappeared. And I was like, well, that's like weird because I do this all the time. I've been doing it for years using this program and it just disappeared. And I kept waiting for it to pop up. Same, I felt like when a couple weeks ago when my episode disappeared, I'm like, where did it go? Like my phone just eats things and I'm freaking out. And anyways, that was my week. it's been a rough week. And then yesterday, the weather was crazy and it was pouring rain. My mood was trash. Like it was one of those moods that I'm glad I recognize because I like kind of disassociated all morning and I can laugh now, but like all morning I was like, am I like here? Like, is this a dream? Is this real? Like, do I have a family? Like, I genuinely checked out of my own subconscious. I really felt like I did. And I snapped out of it, of course, but all day until probably like 5 o'clock, I felt overwhelmed by my own body. Like, I don't know if you guys can relate. I'm sure some of you can, but I get overwhelmed by, sensations. Sorry, I had to yawn. I get overwhelmed by sensations. So all day yesterday, I was like, I had a migraine. I woke up with it. It woke me up in the middle of the night, driving me crazy. And that already kind of puts my body on edge when I have a headache, when I'm not feeling right. I'm kind of out of my normal positive element because I'm just not feeling good and I'm not feeling myself. And as positive as you can try to be when you're hurting, it goes away pretty quickly. So after I took my son to school, I laid on the couch. I couldn't watch much TV because again, I had a headache. And I just kind of laid here and you know, when you are just doing your own thing, I wasn't tired. So I just kind of did nothing but think about how to be productive and things I was going to do when I started feeling better. I tried to mess with my boutique website a little bit, but again, my head was just driving me crazy. So yes, I had a lot of anxiety yesterday. I called my husband quite a bit yesterday and just stayed on the phone with him. He drives pretty long distances, so I'm able to just like hang out on the phone with him. And he always makes me feel better. He always takes me serious. He always, you know, just turns my mood around. So I was so thankful. I'm so thankful that I have him. Anyways, so yes, my week has been off. I felt off. And I noticed that if I get out of my routine, which even we talked about last week, when I wake up, I have a routine of, you know, mindfulness and manifestation. And I have a routine of what are my first thoughts that pop into my head and things like that. But when I wake up not into those routines, say I wake up with panic that I just woke up to, or I woke up to a migraine the other day. So it kind of throws me off. And then my day feels not right. And I'm working on making room for unpredictability. And I'm not sure if you guys are good at that, but I'm really not. I don't do well with things being unpredictable. I don't like things planned out too far in advance because I will give myself so much time to predict everything that will go wrong, could go wrong, might go wrong, never will go right. Like I don't like giving myself too much time, but I like knowing where my day could lead so I can plan my mood accordingly and I can prepare my day for it. So I am working on that. I'm working I hate calling it training, like we're like these robots that need to be trained, but I do picture myself like that because I picture my brain as this like big ball of electricity, which it is, you know, and what happens when I flip this switch? What happens when I flip this switch? It's an automatic connection. I want those connections to be healthy. I want that to be healthy. You know, I've always had health anxiety. So when small things in my body happen, I worry the worst. I just have always been that way. And I struggle with that. You know, I'll get a weird pain in my chest. I'm like, oh, heart attack. And it comes so fast. The thought goes so fast that I struggle getting ahead of that thought and going, no, logically, Sarah, you just drink a whole pot of coffee and, you know, did whatever, and it's probably caffeine, indigestion, and, you know, heartburn all at the same time. So logically, I need to put the cart before after the horse and be like, okay, logical thinking. But yeah, so in my sense, the bad thought comes first and then I can logic it. But I would like to do it the other way around, and I am working on that. I think it's a continuous work ethic to go towards whatever kind of anxiety has us gripped. I was so, I thought I would be so anxious this week due to my son having a field trip. I have never not gone with him somewhere or on a trip or anything like that. And with COVID and all that stuff, I was kind of sad. I missed out on a lot of the elementary school experience. And I still feel like I am missing out, and it kind of breaks my heart a little bit. You know, COVID hit when my son was midway through kindergarten. He's now going to be going into fourth grade this year. And I didn't get to do the stuff that I got to do with like my nieces and nephew and stuff, like go to school lunches, be a part of the classroom parties, go to, you know, field trips. I really didn't get to be a part of that as much as I wanted to. And so that's kind of had me a little down with this field trip this week. Parents were not allowed to go. And my son had never been on a bus before. He'd always went to he'd went to a private school previously, and now we're out of district with his school, so I drive him. So he'd never been on a bus before, and he was a little nervous, but I so wished I could have been a part of these experiences, and I don't even like talking about it. It gets me emotional. He's my only child, and I just felt like I was missing out this week. So it was like a tough week, and to a lot of people, it's not that big of a deal. But to me, I'm very sensitive, and it was a big deal to me. So I allowed myself to have those feelings, and he had a wonderful time. Of course, it all went great. His teacher even emailed me after because she knew I was so apprehensive about the whole thing. And she said he did wonderful, and it just made me so happy. So anyways, so I would allow myself to get these thoughts of, oh, this could go wrong, this could go wrong, what if this happens? But I was actually pretty proud of myself the day of his field trip. I was, you know, as a parent, when you know it's going to be fine and you're excited for them, I was so excited for him. And he had a wonderful time, and you get so happy to listen to their conversation when they get in the vehicle and things like that. I think as parents, a lot of times we know what's best for our kids, and we know that this is okay, and we know that this is a part of life and a step to life. But I don't think any of us could have predicted sometimes how hard that step is for us, the unknown for us. And again, with me, I thrive on predictability and routine. I do my best in it. And sometimes people laugh at me because I won't make plans in the morning until after a certain time because I have to do my morning routine. And I'm not done until about, you know, 9:30 in the morning, which is perfect for me. I get home about, you know, 8:45, 8:50 from taking my son to school. But I have my things that I do and my cleaning routine and my mindfulness. And thankfully, I have work that I can schedule around my routine, and I'm thankful for that. If not, I would have to make that a different time because that is something I thrive in. Organization and being a minimalist, I have just gotten rid of, you know, so many things, and this new mindset that I'm working on has been dreamlike because I'm so proud of myself that I've gotten to this place when, you know, if you would have told 18-year-old me that one day I would have things under control, would be out helping people, would be having meetings about helping people, would be creating my own brand and business and just be doing so many things to make people feel good about themselves, I would have said, you're crazy, because I don't even understand how to sleep in my bed. I sleep in a rocking chair because my panic attacks are so bad and I think I'm going to die. That was 18-year-old me for a long time. And I never thought I would get that under control and live a life that I felt worthy of having. I always felt that something would go wrong at any moment. So I braced myself for it with a negative attitude, a negative mindset, so it wouldn't hurt so bad when it happened. And I've come to realize that that's what anxiety wants you to do. Some anxiety can come out as anger and frustration because you're scared. And we're scared about what anxiety can possibly do to us and the outcome that we think is going to happen, when in reality, our brains are making up a nightmare that we haven't even lived and probably won't live. So that was a lot for me to take in over the last, you know, oh God, how old am I? Almost 15 years. I don't even know, something like that. So hold on, 18, 28. Oh God, almost 15 years. Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, is that right? Oh my goodness. Also, if you would have told 18-year-old me that I would deal with anxiety my whole life and have to work on myself constantly to make sure that I am centered in myself, in knowing that, just knowing when my anxiety hits, that it will go away. I lived in such a permanent state of anxiety when I was younger that I thought there's no out for this. And that's a scary place to be when you feel your life is permanently terrifying, just terrifying. So anyways, that's my rant. So I did want to talk today about so much of what our anxiety is, what our anxiety even means to us. I feel like that's a really important question that sometimes I ask people, but I don't ever go too far into it, because sometimes talking about anxiety can make us anxious. I don't know if you noticed in the beginning, but I was doing a lot of deep breathing because I had a little anxiety about this episode. I don't want to trigger people into focusing too much on your anxiety, because I know we're supposed to just be passing by neighbors, but also we do need to address and get to know each other, and knowing your neighbor's name is not the worst thing in the world. So I wanted to talk about what anxiety is to you, what is its role in your life, and we've spoken on this before, but it's been a while, and I've gotten so many questions and emails about, you know, anxiety being front and center in every decision people make, whether it's going to hang out with friend groups, going out to dinner, going on a date night, going to a concert, going to, you know, your kids' school play, you know, just everything under the sun, people having weddings. What role does your anxiety play in your everyday life? Going to work, doing just the basic grocery store stuff. I've had panic attacks in grocery stores for sure. I've left full carts and walked right out. And it's terrifying. A lot of times my anxiety can take over physically. I get really shaky. I get the palpitations. My legs feel like they're just going to collapse from under me. And as I am getting older, learning to control those things and understanding what it is and the thousands of symptoms that anxiety can come with, that everybody is different. I've had people address anxiety symptoms with me saying, oh, this is my anxiety, this is the way it goes. And I go, I don't tell them this. I think to myself, I never heard of this one before. So I thoroughly do my research before responding and going, yes, that is a symptom, as much as the research I can do. And I've never experienced it, so I can't relate, but I can acknowledge that that is definitely anxiety. And of course, always get things checked out with your doctor. That will always be my number one thing. I had to go to a doctor last week and they checked my vitamin levels and I got an EKG done because I was getting the palpitations in a different way this time. And just to be safe, I went and got it checked, and I knew it was probably something to do with anxiety. But my thought is I wanted to get my vitamin levels checked. due to my kidneys and stuff like that. They're vitamin deficient stuff, and my kidney disease can sometimes make me not feel so great. So I have to keep a close eye on them. They've been hurting this week and just being annoying. So my doctor was like, we're going to double check and see if they're putting any pressure anywhere causing discomfort. And I was fine. Everything was good. I'm healthy. My vitamin levels are good. My EKG came back great. My heart is wonderful. It's just my anxiety. So when other people address things, I'm like, you know, if you already have underlying health stuff or even don't have underlying health stuff, it doesn't hurt to just feel safe in knowing that I'm taking care of my body. It doesn't make you sound crazy. You only get one life and you get one body, and taking care of it being your number one priority, I'm proud that you do address it and that you shouldn't feel ashamed or embarrassed that you are following up on something that's bothering you. So as many people who talk to me about being embarrassed for silly things that they go to the doctor for, don't do that at all. Don't feel that way at all. And do your own research. I'm a big advocate for researching things on my own. I will go into a rabbit hole of, okay, this is probably what my doctor's going to tell me, but unfortunately I need them to send me to the testing to get it done. My logical thought was, it's my vitamin levels and I probably need to up my magnesium. So as you're getting, I know I just sound like a super old lady, my magnesium, but I do, you have to start paying attention to that stuff because your body is a machine. It's a machine and it runs well when it has the correct parts and pieces, and everything plays a role in making the other parts move. And if a screw is getting a little loose, you better tighten it up a little bit. So anyways, that was my tangent for this episode. We are going to talk about what anxiety is to you this episode. Welcome back. This was the longest intro I've ever done. I could keep going, but I should probably get my commercials in here somewhere. All right, you guys, let's talk. You know, so my question, you know, what is anxiety to you? Anxiety, is it, you know, a fear? Is it a body sensation? Is it random thoughts, intrusive thoughts? Is it chest issues? Is it stomach issues? I get the leg issues. Is it back issues? Do you hold the tension somewhere? I hold tension in my pelvis and in my shoulder blades. Like, where? What is anxiety to you? Is it physical? Is it just mental? Is it a little bit of all of them? And what role do you allow it to have in your mind? Again, the Hello Neighbor, Get to Know Your Neighbor episodes, I really hope you've listened to, because this is it's a lot of the same conversation, but also knowing that what your anxiety is to you is your own personal journey, and you can't allow anybody who has it or even doesn't have it to tell you what relationship you are allowed to have with it, because your mental health state and your awareness of yourself is your own journey, and it is a part of your personality. As much as we hate to say it, it's a part of who you are. It's not the most important part of who you are, but it is there, and we have to acknowledge it. And ignoring it can kind of make it louder and scream louder. It's almost like ignoring a toddler. They're going to yell until you see them, until you hear them and acknowledge what they need and what they want and why they're bothering you and asking you for stuff. So it's like, what role is it? And a lot of times I ask people, what is your dream mind state? I know it sounds weird. Like, if you had a goal, and you had something that you were like, this is what I want my mind to be like. I want calm. I want collected. Some people just want it to shut off. And I can relate to that one. Just wanting it to shut down. And some people, I'm so sorry. Oh my goodness. Some people really want their mind to just be positive. And I think the answer to everybody is they just want it to not feel scary too. Anxiety, depression, you know, the intrusive thoughts, even OCD and things like that. It's scary because it's not what we want. It's just something that is a part of us. It's something that comes with the territory of our own mental health. And I think that that's not only admirable though, that we can create a whole personality around that and still move on with their lives. And if you're still working on that and creating a life that isn't 99% anxiety, you will get there because you will get to know it. And when you get to know it, it's not so scary. You know, you ever see somebody on the street, big, scary looking person or whatnot, and then you get to know them, you're like, oh my gosh, like you are not scary at all. You're the sweetest, loving, big teddy bear I've ever met in my life. I picture my anxiety like that because anxiety isn't meant to be scary. Anxiety is meant to keep you safe. So wrapping yourself in that teddy bear hug, it's meant to keep you safe. We just have to tell it when to keep us safe sometimes, you know, and me having to send an email, that's not anxiety needing to keep me safe. Oh my gosh, I seen something on Facebook. It cracked me up. I saw a meme or whatever you want to call it on Facebook. It was like, I wish my anxiety knew not to kick in my fight or flight when I just have to send a work email. My ancestors were chased by big animals, and here I am, my fight or flight kicking in when I send an email. And I thought that was so funny because that's what, you know, that's originally, we were never meant to be this luxe, lavish life that we're living, you know, food on hand and a home and safety. We weren't meant for that. So our bodies, it's like it hasn't evolved out of us yet, that fight or flight, that, you know, going hunting and foraging and keeping our children safe from these wild beasts and building our homes by hand. And I always think to that is the anxiety back then kept us safe. It said, hey, stay alert. We don't know what's lurking around. Hey, keep your family safe. Hey, what is this big animal in the woods that I'm hunting or being hunted by? So that was a good time to have anxiety. And then as we've evolved and our life has become, I don't want to say easy for everyone, but easier, of course, you know, lights come on with the flick of a switch, and we're most of us are, you know, successful in our homes and our lives and our work, and we have heat in our homes and our children are safe, and we don't worry about as much about, you know, dying by crazy things. Our anxiety has no place to go. It's almost like it's bottled up and it's like, when do you use me? And as much as we evolve, maybe one day anxiety won't exist because we don't need it. We need it at certain times. So I guess I shouldn't say, I hope it disappears, of course, but I hope it figures out that maybe it's not as potent to our lives as it once was. And the role that it plays is important if we are being harmed or chased or something scary is happening and we need to protect our family, or if there's fires. And I think of that stuff that is, you know, your fight or flight kicks in, and that's a good time to have it. But when I'm just in the produce aisle, I don't need you as much. So please go away, you know? So we have to meet it in the middle somewhere. Meeting your anxiety in the middle is not meaning that it gets to take over 50% of your life. That's not what that means at all. Meeting it in the middle is going, hey, you have your place, but it's a small one, and I'm going to need you to go in this compartment, in this zone, and I'll let you know when I need you. Of course, there's always going to be times, again, like a toddler in timeout, it's going to peek its head out and be like, am I done? And you're like, no, now you're talking, and the timer started over, blah, blah, blah. Like, but I picture it as, you know, it is. It's going to pop out and be like, you know, you haven't used me in a while. What's going on? Or it's going to constantly come out because you've not created boundaries. It's not scared of you. Its punishment doesn't mean anything. And it doesn't feel like it's being utilized as much as it would like to do. So sometimes you just wake up with it and you're like, I don't understand what happened. Like, you've just been playing all night while I was asleep, and now I have to clean up your mess. So really, you just have to picture it like that. Picture cleaning up its mess. It's a mess, and it tries to keep you safe, and it loves you, but yet you have to meet it in a safety place. It has to have its own safety net to just back into, go away. It's useful when it needs to be, but you know, not allowing it to become who you are. Your anxiety is not your personality, not at all. It just happens to be a small part of it. And, you know, what are you allowing it to play your role in? So if you have, I always, you know, when people will tell me, oh, I have this event coming up, or I have this play coming up or a concert or whatever, and I'm really nervous, my anxiety is going to ruin it for me. And I'm already like, you're 10 steps ahead of me, because my anxiety when it was bad, I wouldn't have even dreamed of scheduling a big event. But I do understand that everybody's different. And I know somebody, her anxiety is just as bad as mine, but she's able to do more. She doesn't mind going on huge vacations away from home and going to concerts and doing big parties and having group gatherings. Like, she doesn't mind that stuff. Her anxiety is purely within herself. It's within herself. And I'm almost like, I'm like, I'm jealous, because mine is with my surroundings. My anxiety is my surroundings. So I have to keep my surroundings a certain way, and also learn that I am still going to do those things, but I have to have a plan, and I have to be prepared. And she's more of a spur of the moment anxiety within herself at the end of the night kind of thing. So we're very different, but I love her for it, because she, I admire that. I admire that. And she's like, I want to be like you, as in planning things and having, you know, good work ethic. She's like, you know, she's so kind to me. She's like, and having like just the strength to do what you're doing and things like that. And I'm like, I want to be like you, because you are amazing and have a life that consists of all these people, and you're not like, hey, get away from me. Because I have a very select few friends, and I don't crave big gatherings. I don't crave that at all. So me and her are different again. So allowing your anxiety, what is it to you? What are you allowing it to do, and not becoming who you are, but just a part of the plan, is what I'm saying. So if you have a big event coming up, even for myself, if I have a big event coming up and I know, like, okay, yeah, I'll probably be a little anxious. I might have a stomach ache, but in my mind, I know that as soon as I get there, I'm going to be fine. So why am I going to pay attention to it and freak out the whole time prior? We've talked about this before, you know, skydiving. Why am I going to freak out the night before? I'm not even in the plane yet, you know? And I've heard that, I heard that so long ago. I can't recall who said it. If you've listened to them, you'll let me know. But they would say, who was that? Oh, it's going to drive me crazy. They would say, you know, people would freak out the night before going skydiving. Oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. Even, you know, just when they get there and getting their gear on, I'm so scared. And they're like, you're not even in the plane yet. You are causing fear more times than needs to be. Fear when you're in the plane, fear when you're about to jump out, but don't fear when you haven't left the ground yet. The main event's not even happened. So why are we causing so much cortisol release of stress that is so unhealthy in our bodies? The stress hormone release is so bad for us, and our body becomes addicted to it. So what does it do when we're nervous? It releases that hormone, and it's so unhealthy, and it's known to cause so many sicknesses and illnesses and aging. I mean, I know that sounds like such a little thing, but it causes you to age, and it causes your body to ache and be sore, and it's just a big vicious circle of why is my body achy and sore and a constant stress. It's a constant stress, I feel like. So again, let's not fear doing things before we're actually doing them. And I'm even, you know, I have to work on that myself. Sometimes with big events and things like that, I'll just be quiet. I've come to the terms with, this is how I'm going to be feel for a moment, you know, momentarily, until I correct it again, but I'm slowly working towards that. You know, beforehand when I was younger, I've said, you know, like 30 million times today, and I hate myself right now. Anyways, when I was younger and I would go to an event, I was a mess. Like, I would cry because I didn't really know what anxiety was yet. And we've spoken about this a million times, but if you haven't listened, I didn't know what anxiety was yet. It wasn't as common or spoken about. Social media wasn't as accepting of it. Nobody around me in my life knew what was happening to me until I went to a doctor and he's like, you have anxiety, here's Xanax. And then I didn't like medication, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, it was scary for me going places because I didn't know what was happening to me. I didn't know this fear, and my body was in this constant fight or flight, and my sensations, my entire body was electric. It felt like it was horrid. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, my anxiety, the way it came on. But I would cry going to events. I would feel sick. I feel like I was going to throw up. I specifically even remember my ex. We were going to a family event of his, and it was far away. And I'll remember this forever. It was far away in a different town. My anxiety was so bad. First, I had never met these people. Second, I don't travel well. I didn't travel well, I should say. I didn't travel well. I was a mess. I cried. I was sick. I physically felt like I was going to die. Anxiety. I really felt like something terrible was going to happen. So we went there, and it was kind of far. I believe it was like an hour, maybe two. It felt like my entire life while we were driving there. It probably was like 30 minutes. I don't remember, but it felt like a long drive, and I know it was not in our town. Anyways, so we got there. I was not a happy camper. I was as kind as I could be, but I was just, something was happening in my body, and I wasn't familiar with this. And so I wasn't in a great mind state. Anyways, we ended up staying maybe 30 minutes, and he was generous and made up some bullshit, and we got out of there, and it was terrible, and I apologized profusely. And while we were driving home, of course, my anxiety was gone. I felt great, chipper, happy, and that was what I had to, that was a huge lesson for me, because I was like, this is something that has to do with my nerves. I'm not dying. Something terrible is not about to happen. And that was when I really, it like kind of set in for me that this was something I needed to learn more about and why it was happening to me. And I just dove headfirst into mental health and understanding myself. But it took me years to really, really understand the science behind it. I knew what was happening to me at that point. I knew what was, what it was, but it still scared me. I still cried. I still was very, emotional and sensitive and couldn't do certain things. And I did, I still trapped myself in my home. I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping. I just was miserable. I was a miserable person. And then I did get on the correct medication, and it helped me so much. I was on it for about a year, and it helped me a lot. And then when I was able to get off of it, and then we've talked about this a million times, years went on, I didn't have anxiety. Then my son was born, and a couple years into him, I received anxiety again. But I didn't want to get on medicine. So I honestly just bared through it for a little bit. I would hide it, and I didn't let people know, but it was, my body wanted to explode, and only Brett knew about it. But it was scary. And then, like I said, right around when COVID was hitting, before that even hit, like 2018, 2019, I was like, this is something that I have to understand its meaning in my life. So we've talked about this all before, but that just leads into my story of who you allow it to be and have you gotten to know it. For the longest time, I did not want to get to know my anxiety. I wanted it to just go away. I wanted it to one day not be there. But we all know that the more you ignore it, the more you don't introduce yourself, the more you act like it doesn't exist, it searches for you, and you kind of search for it. You go, how am I feeling today? Is it going to be here today? And you question it. You start questioning who your anxiety is, what it is, and when will it return? So if you think that paying more attention to it for a little bit to get to know it and allow it to meet in the middle and put a place to it, that's not going to make it worse. I want you to get to know it. I want you to, who is it to you? Who is anxiety? Give it a name if you need to. It can be a hilarious name. You can even laugh at some of the symptoms. Sometimes when I get my anxiety symptoms out of nowhere, I will laugh. I'll be like, oh my God, is this like a joke right now? Like, this is actually hilarious that you're causing me to have anxiety while I'm brushing my teeth. Like, it's funny, and it has to be that way. And that's the way you can keep it healthy. I know with myself, I'm creating, we talked about last week, you know, creating new routines, not only for our lifestyles, but for our mind. Creating a new routine for that, I had to, and I'm still working on this. With this new business, it's taken over my mindset lately, and I have to create even a mindset for my lifestyles, for what it is I have to shut down at a certain time, because I could work 24/7 if I wanted to. And boy, do I some days. Like, I don't take many days off. I'm always working. I'm always doing, you know, advertising or branding or something for a different company or something for myself, my podcast, you know, my business. I am a constant work person. And for when that all first started, it was to escape my anxiety. It was to make myself busy. It was to exhaust myself to the point that I could not mentally go to my anxiety's house to see her. And fading away from that and becoming a healthy person who works and somebody healthy that wants to, you know, I like working. It's not something I want to bury myself into, escape my anxiety anymore. I genuinely like what I do. So I do it all the time, but I also have to make a free space for other things to come my way if need be. And I hope you can understand that. So I know a lot of us are working like crazy right now, and it's hard times. People are stressed, overwhelmed, and it's horrible. And we're creating this constant go, go, go. So I have to tell myself it's time to stop. This is a moment that I need to take even 5 minutes and allow other thoughts besides work, money, family. I need to allow any thoughts that maybe need to get through to me that I've been ignoring, because if I don't allow it now, bedtime is going to be a nightmare. So make sure that you're allowing your anxiety to come out of its room every once in a while and check in. You can check in with your anxiety. That's okay to do. Go, okay, how are we feeling? How is this going? Are the steps I'm taking healthy? Are the steps I'm taking safe? You're here to keep me safe so we can have a healthy relationship. Even yesterday, I told you that my anxiety was terrible. I didn't know what was happening. I was having some kind of just little episode, and I knew it was due to my migraine. And to be honest with you, I just hate headaches. They scare me. I know that's the weirdest thing in the world. Headaches scare me because mine come on very intense, very severe, extremely sharp pains. I'm like, oh, my flip of my light switch is telling me I'm having a brain aneurysm. And so I have to talk myself out of that. I go, no, Sarah, you were staring at your phone for 6 hours or your laptop for 6 hours yesterday at work. And of course you have a migraine today. So logical thinking, checking in with my anxiety is going, hey, no, I understand that you're trying to keep me safe and healthy. And when things hurt in my body, you go, oh God, go to the doctor. But let's be logical, anxiety. And it goes, all right, I'm going back to bed, you know? But some days it hangs out with you. Yesterday, mine hung out with me until like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But my main point of this is some days your anxiety can take over all day. Sometimes it can take over for the week. Sometimes it can take over for months. I understand that. I feel like the longer it takes over is the less relationship we have with it is because. So yesterday mine was gone at a certain time, but I felt like it was because I allowed it to hang out with me. Some days you just got allowed to hang out with you and it feels like it's not going to end. It feels like this mindset is now my permanent mindset and I suck and life sucks and this is never going to get better. But it does, because you have a relationship with it, because of what role you allow it to play in your life. It's such a huge, what's the word? I'm kind of like success. It's a huge success to have a relationship with your anxiety. That's a big part of loving yourself completely. Your anxiety is a part of you, and that's okay. And that's not scary. And that's supposed to be there. And it keeps us safe. It's that big, scary teddy bear walking down the street that a minute ago you thought might murder you, but it's actually trying to keep you safe. It just didn't know how. And we have to give it boundaries. We're raising it to be a strong... It's funny that I'm comparing it to this big, scary person. And then I also call it a toddler because sometimes that's one and the other. But understanding what it is for us and what role it plays for us is all different. We're all so different in our journeys with anxiety and what role it plays with us. But we all can relate to the fear. We all can relate to the exhaustion. We all can relate to the, you know, just knowing that it's not us and hating that so much. This is not me. this is not who I want to be, but it tries to tell you, yes, it is, and yes, you are, like, yes, it is, and you go, no. So when you get to know it, you're allowed to tell it, nope, that's not true. Nope, that's not me. We've talked about this a couple episodes ago. You know, when people try to tell you who you are, your anxiety will also try to tell you who you are. And just because it's not a person doesn't mean that it's any less scary or hurts any less. So you also have to be confident with your anxiety. No, I am not. No, I am not. You know, so it's a constant tug of war, but it doesn't have to be scary. I guess that's my whole takeaway from this is anxiety can put so much fear into us. But it's supposed to be healthy. It's supposed to be healthy. It's supposed to be keeping us safe. We need to get it back to the part of keeping us safe and checking in with it every once in a while is okay. Seeing your neighbor at the mailbox is not bad to wave. It's not bad to know their name so you can address the proper hello. So do that. Mornings are already rough. So why not make it easier with Javi? J-A-V-Y. Javi Coffee is dairy-free, sugar-free, gluten-free, plant-powered, non-GMO, and ethically sourced. Javi Coffee is so simple. You take 1 to 2 teaspoons, pour it in hot or cold water, put in your favorite toppings or creamer, and you're on the go. No stops in the morning, no waiting in line, no getting that machine out that you don't even know if it's clean. Drink Javi Coffee and get 20% off with Sarah, S-A-R-A, 43934 today. Javi Coffee will change your whole morning mood. Drink Javi today. Sarah Bauer Boutique will be opening here shortly. I would love to take this opportunity to tell you to go to our Instagram page at Loving Yourself Completely. Click on the link in the bio and please go subscribe for email notifications. I had officially announced the launch to Sarah Bauer Boutique this week. It is opening February 24th. That's when we're going to launch online. February 24th at 5 p.m. Central Time. So I'm so excited. I feel like all of my hard work that has gone into this and sweat and tears and anxiety, the amount, like I could create a whole anxiety room, a hotel in my mind, all dedicated to Sarah Bauer Boutique. Like it's there and it's bigger with this because I've invested a lot in this. I've put a lot of time and effort and not even just money, just this is what I want to do for a very long time. So it's kind of like one of those things that I need it to be successful because this is it for me in hoping that this can be permanent. You know, just like this podcast, I've worked so hard in learning mental health and the body and things like that because I wanted it to be successful and I did it. And I have to remind myself every once in a while, I look around and I go, I'm doing this. Like I did this podcast going on, you know, for 3 years and I'm proud of myself. And even my boutique, I will look at all of my things that I have set up for it and everything's prepared and ready to go and packaged. And I go, this is what you've been working for. And now it's in front of your face. It's a physical object. I can touch it. I can feel it. I can package it. I can, you know, create it. My brand, I've put on shirts and stickers and advertising it on Facebook and things like that. But I look at it and I go, this is where you wanted to be months ago. And now you're here, like take it in. And I have to remind myself of that. We all do. Take it in as you go. Enjoy this journey of doing the things you want to do, even though you're scared, even if you don't have anxiety, there's fear and there's apprehension. And there's sometimes when you think, what if this all just fails? But then I go, what if it does? Okay. I would have never known. I would have went my whole life going, I really wish I would have gotten into, you know, podcasting or, you know, freaking doing a boutique for myself. I wish I would have did that. And what are your hopes and dreams that no matter what, time is going by, are you going to think about it forever or are you going to find a way to do it? I knew nothing about podcasting or running a business or photography or fitness I was always into, but I didn't know the logistics and the science behind it and the, you know, formulas and the math for it. I didn't know these things, and I learned them, and I learned all about it. Whether I use it every single day or it becomes my job or it's a side job or people ask me for advice or I set up their nutrition plans or I take their pictures because they've got engaged or I do a podcast every week or I dress people, like whatever I'm doing, whatever side thing or main thing becomes, I put all of my effort into it because it's something I wanted to do. It's something I want to know. And people always, my friend, she's like, you just do everything. I'm like, because I love it. I love knowing things. And so when something comes up and I go, I don't know much about that. So I want to know about it. And this boutique was just another journey for me, but I felt like it was different. I felt like this is something that it feels different. And I think it's going to be different for me. And I'm just so excited that I want this to be extremely successful. And I've been doing so much work and even just manifesting within myself and the positivity behind it. I want everything that comes with it to be positive. So my anxiety hotel in my mind has to be down the street. It's a little big right now to fit, but I think this anxiety is just almost nervous. You know, I'm opening in almost exactly 2 weeks and I've just come, it's come a long way and I'm excited. So that, my anxiety with that is different. So allowing ourselves, I feel like this is where my whole point of this whole episode is going, is what I've been dealing with. And I know so many of us are dealing with right now with the way the economy is and things like that, and just struggling and working nonstop and a constant kind of state of the unknown. We have to give our anxiety a room or it will become our personality. We don't want that. We don't want anxiety to be our personality because that's not who we are. That's not who we are. I'm not a constant fight or flight. Like, I would like to enjoy the moments. I think we all would. So we're not put here to be scared all the time. We're not put here to live in a constant, I want to run away and never come out and hide under my blankets. That's not why we're here. We're here to live out our dreams and our journeys and to really put ourselves in the right areas and space to become our best selves. What does that look like? I'm going through that with my son right now. He's struggling with some kids, you know. Kids suck sometimes. But I keep telling them, what's our best selves today? What's our best selves? If they don't want to be their best selves, we're not in control of that. What do our best selves look like today? Are we kind? Are we loving? Do we ignore unkind people? And do we ignore unloving people? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And we say our prayers every morning in the drop-off line, and we create the day we want to have. Does it always happen? No. But this is the day I'm going to create. I can either wish and hope for a positive day, or I can look for the negative and I will find it. But I would rather search for the positive. So I'm hoping to instill that in him. Have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing new ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to turn on notifications to Loving Yourself Completely to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today for free. Sometimes we got to sit down and reevaluate within ourselves. We're so busy lately. Everybody's so busy working and taking care of family and worrying about money and worrying about, you know, even your heating bill. Jesus, like everything is crazy right now. I get so many emails that they're like, this was stuff I never really paid a second thought to, and now it's keeping me up at night. And I think we're all doing that right now. We're all being kept up at night, and there's something that we're worrying about. Worry and fear and anxiety and depression, and it all ties in to a nonstop tape recorder in our minds. And even myself or my husband or my son, we are known to write things down. If it's bothering us in our minds, write it down. We should write it down. I have journals, or we put it on our notes on our phone or whatever. What's bothering you? Write it down. Get it out of your brain, because it doesn't need a space. It doesn't need a room. This is a side thought, and we know that we're not going to forget about it. So we're going to just write it down so it has its own place. Put your thoughts in place. Okay? I hope you guys understand that. That was my whole episode today, was you have to give space for things, whether it's anxiety, anger, frustration, happiness, it all needs a room. to be. That way we know where to find it. You have to know where to find these things because sometimes we have to address them. And even people who have anger issues, you know, does it have a room? And when do you check in on it? Because if not, it's going to break out of the room. And don't let it break out of the room. You need to know where it is at all times, because we have to keep control of that. And that's not just another thing to keep on your list and keep in the back of your mind. And, oh, thanks, Sarah, another thing I have to do. No, this can become automatic. This can become while you're driving. Hey, where's your anxiety at today? Okay, this is where it's at. Hey, where's your happiness at today? Oh, okay, this is where it's at. It can all be in special places, and you don't need to feel as if this is a chore or task. It can be a relief. It can be a relief for you to know where your emotions are, because you know when they're appropriate. Okay? Anyways, so if you haven't already, go to www.sarahbauerboutique.com and subscribe for notifications for our boutique coming up. Go like our new Instagram page at Loving Yourself Completely. You can email at lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com. All the things. Oh my gosh, I need to make like a whole ad for how you can get a hold of me. I love when you guys message me. Continue to do so. Continue loving yourself completely this week. Just know that your emotions can have a permanent spot. And sometimes we can rearrange their spots, but they can always be there. And they're okay to have them. And when new things and changes happen in your life and you have to create a new space for them, that's okay. And they might get a little stirred up and a little uncomfortable because this is a new place and I have to get used to it. But they can still be there. And it's okay if sometimes they take over your day. That does not mean you're doing anything wrong at all. Sit with them, figure out why they're taking over your day. Become friendly with your neighbor. Give it a name, give it a space, give it a time. And don't forget, they're there. Okay, I love you guys. I'll see you next week. Continue loving yourself completely. Bye.